Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have just had the beginning of the new year, and it's a time to start afresh. And we may well wonder what God has in store for us this year. But how can we see what God is up to? Do we know what God wants for us? How do we even know what God is like? Well, our Thursday class on theology is wrestling with some of these questions, and this past week they focused on whether we are in fact able to know God or whether God is incomprehensible, was the word that we used. And these are some good questions for Epiphany, because Epiphany is the festival of the revelation of Jesus Christ to the world, the whole world, not just the Jews. And today's story is familiar. You may think that we told this story on Christmas Eve, but we didn't. The image of the three wise men on their camels with their gifts is such a strong image that it shows up on many Christmas cards. And even here, the wise men have finally showed up in our own nativity. They've joined Mary and Joseph and the baby there. But the story of the wise men is an episode all its own, and it takes place quite some time after the birth of Jesus, maybe as much as 2 years after the birth, because this journey took time. The Magi are, of course, wise men from the East. Maybe they are Zoroastrian priests. In any case, they are Gentiles. They are not Jews. And they live far away, and they see a new star in the sky, and they are drawn to it. Now, this isn't just any other star. It's not even a rare comet. This is a star of revelation. This is a star that shows something of God's work, something of who God is. I think that many people have a sense of God in nature. I mean, who can argue with the grandeur of Yosemite, or the power of the ocean, or the tender green shoots of spring, or the delicate tracery of a feather or a spider web? All of these things awaken in us this awe and point to God's creation and inspire us, or soothe us, or challenge us. God is revealed in nature. The ancients knew this, and the church has proclaimed it, and we sense it in the wind and the birds and the amazing diversity of life. But the wise men see this star, and they recognize in it God's revelation of a child born king of the Jews, but they also encounter the limits of the star and the revelation of the star. And so to learn more, the wise men need to turn to Scripture. And they arrive in Jerusalem. And King Herod learns about their quest. And Herod knows about the power of Scripture. He consults with the Jewish priests and the scribes, and they cite the prophet Micah and interpret what Micah says and say that this refers to a Messiah, a king, who will be born there in Bethlehem. Scripture is the source of a particular revelation about God. Scripture has been given to the Jews and through the Jews then to the Gentiles. Now, it's not a magic book. It's not something that we use for divination, and we cannot force it to tell us what we want to hear. But God does speak through Scripture. And that's why we bother to have texts from Scripture read every Sunday and why sermons are based on the Bible. We're not just here to gather information about biblical times, although I will confess that I'm pretty interested in information about the Bible, and I'm pretty sure that sometimes I err on the side of sharing too much of that information. But we do proclaim that Scripture is a living word. It's not just about information from the past. It's alive. And while we can learn a lot about the original context in which the story is written, the story has something to say to us today. Now, we're going to have to interpret it. We're certainly going to have to pray about it. But Scripture reveals to us God's actions in the past and God's hopes and plans for us for our future. Scripture, in fact, gets the wise men to Bethlehem. They couldn't have got there without it. Scripture gets them to Jesus, where they are overwhelmed with joy. Through the star and Scripture, the wise men have received the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul says. And the wise men kneel down, and they worship Jesus. And they give him those odd, luxurious gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, not at all practical. They give him these amazing gifts. They have received this revelation of the glory of God, and they respond with honor and worship and giving. But what is next for them? How are they to live out their lives after having encountered Jesus? King Herod is waiting for them. He told them to come back and let him know where this child is to be found, so that he too can pay homage to the child, this one who is born the King of the Jews. Well, it shouldn't take any extra special revelation to suspect that Herod is up to no good. Few people in power like a rival, and for a despotic king, the awareness that someone else is being called king in his land is deeply threatening. He is afraid, and he makes all of Jerusalem afraid with him. Now, perhaps these wise men are innocent scholars, unaware of the machinations of power and evil, because it takes a dream to warn them not to return to Herod. And so they go to their own country by a different way. Sometimes we need a personal intervention, a dream, a message just for us. I believe this is rare, but it happens, because God can work through any means, including a dream, to reach us, to tell us what to do next. And when that happens, our response to the revelation of God is a changed life. We go on by a different way. We want to know what God is like, and this is the message of Epiphany for us. Star and Scripture and dream point the way. And the place that they lead is to a humble stable, with a baby or a young child at the center of that stable. What is God like? God is like Jesus Christ, God among us. We don't have to view God as a completely incomprehensible mystery. Although we cannot know the whole of God, we do know the love and the healing power of God through Jesus. We can see the ways that Jesus included people at the outskirts of society among his followers. We can see the ways that he had mercy and forgave the sins of those who followed him, how he lived and how he died for us. We may not know the whole of God, but we know enough. Like the wise men, we have seen the glory of the face of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And so we worship him with changed lives. At the end of our worship service, you may want to take a star from the bowl that's at the back there. And there's a word, a different word written on each star. And I would encourage you to just take one at random. Don't go looking for the perfect word. But use whatever word comes up to reflect on what God is like and what God hopes for your life. It's not magic, but these are all words that are emerge from Scripture. So may this star of Scripture be a particular guidance for you in your lives this coming year. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.